What's up? How's everybody doing? Everybody good? You know what's awesome? I love that our balcony up there is about full. That fires me up. Everybody look, y'all getting looked at up there. Y'all, it's all good. It fires me up. Hey, listen, the balcony is going to start being open. If you want to go up there, then go for it. But anyway, hey, listen, let me just give a shout out to two people. If you are a guest in the house, you are very important to us, and we are so glad that you are here, Are We Not Desperation Church. Thank you for coming and doing church with us today. The second thing I would say is if you are here and you have not taken the next step of finding out more about our church, we have Connect Class today. We have it the first and third week of every month, okay? And so this is the third week of February. And listen, if you are wanting to find out next steps about how to get plugged into Desperation Church, we would love for you to come. We believe that everybody has a God-given purpose inside the church. And so if you're wondering about food or childcare, we have both of that. We will feed you. We will feed your babies. We have childcare. We believe that everybody is a 10 at something, all right? We believe everybody in this room can serve somewhere. Everybody's a 10 at something, so we want to challenge you. If you have not been, then listen, after 11 o'clock service, the first and third Sunday of every single month after the 11 o'clock service, we will have it. We'll have it today after this service. Listen, if you can't make it today, go ahead and put March 5th on your calendar and be there, okay? Because we are really, really hoping that you will come and check out your next steps here at our church. Hey, listen, this is our third week on Family Matters, and we're doing a series on the family. And I realized while we were thinking through Family Matters that I don't believe I've ever really preached a sermon on raising kids, on raising children. And so we're actually going to do a couple of them, all right? We're going to talk about raising kids, and I'm hoping you have a good time today, okay? I'm hoping that it challenges you. Now listen, the one thing I know for a fact is that me and my wife, Leah, we are not perfect parents at all. If you're a perfect parent, then I will give you the mic next week and you can do it. I got to interview you first, all right? But you can have it, because what I've learned is that none of us are perfect parents whatsoever, but we're going to give it the best shot we can. I work with students for a long time. I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, and I'm just going to give you some things that I've learned in the past, some things I've learned just by accident, some things I've learned scripturally, and today's going to be very, very, very practical, okay? And so I'm hoping that it speaks to you. So if you're here and you're saying, I'm single and I don't have any kids, well, you will one day. I know it may not feel like it, but I promise you one day you'll have kids. So go ahead and take some notes, okay? If you're a grandparent, you said, I've already gone through that stage, then you continue to teach us how to raise kids, but you also have grandbabies on the way, okay? So listen, I know you spoil them, you give them ice cream and Snickers and send them home all full of energy, and parents are ticked off at you. But listen, you can maybe take some of these principles also and use them in your life, okay? And so whether you got young kids or maybe you got older kids, hopefully this will help you some way, form, or fashion. Now listen, there's another group in here I want to talk to real quick. There's a great possibility that inside this room right here, we have some parents who are trying to have babies, or not parents, some people who are trying to have babies that cannot, and it's very difficult for you. The last thing I want today as we talk about children is to remind you that you can't have any right now. So here's what I want to do. That's the last thing. I want you to believe that God's going to give you a baby. He's going to put a human in your belly, ladies. All right? And I want you taking notes. All right? I want you taking notes in faith. We're going to believe that God's going to give me a child. All right? And before I start, I want to pray for you. Can I do that? Can I pray for you? Because I really, listen, it's a lot bigger issue than most people realize. And so I want to be really sensitive to that. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, there are ladies in this room, couples in this room that are trying to have a child that are struggling. And so, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, God, you would move on them, that, God, you would give them a baby, that, God, you would just put a baby in their womb. Lord, if it's your desire for them to adopt or to foster, in Jesus' name, give them the capability to do that. Lord, there are children out there that want parents as much as parents want children. And so, Lord, I pray you'd connect them. So, Lord, you do what you desire. Father, we just ask that you would bless and that you would minister. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Jesus, for who you are in your name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, hey, the last couple of weeks, we've done some hashtags, all right? And we've talked about hashtag married life and hashtag why I'm single. And this week, we're going to do hashtag my kids weird. How many of you have weird kids? Throw your hands up in the air. I think I got both mine up. My kid is weird. Your kid is weird. Our kids are weird. And so we got some really crazy hashtags. I hope you enjoy this. If you don't, I'm sorry. Church is supposed to be fun sometimes. All right, check it out.
All right, DC, we are back again for week 3 of our series called Hashtag Family Matters. And once again, I'm joined with our pastor, Pastor Andy Heiss, and we have got some good ones for you today.
They got to be good. If you tell my kids.
The hashtag is hashtag my kid is weird, okay? And so...
Caleb Heiss.
We're going to...
To the T. Got to be. All of them.
We're going to jump right into this. This comes from at Mama Megan 325.
Yo, Mama Megan.
Mama Megan. My 3-year-old son tickles the top of my head and whispers, quote, that's my cotton candy. He's paralyzed with laughter. We don't even have to joke.
As long as they don't try to eat her hair or anything. I can say Caleb never done that.
Michelle did, actually. This comes from at Faceless Khalili. One of my kids in my class came out of the bathroom and quietly said to himself, well, that hurt. Hashtag my kid is weird.
I've done that. You've never done that? Like pooping a pine cone backwards.
That was a rough one. This is we finally have a good name,
like an easy one.
Lord Jesus, a nice human name. This is from at Jaron McCormick.
That's better.
That's
unbelievable.
We're improving.
Yes.
He says, "My kid told me that my butt looked like a bag of." My butt looks like a bag full of chicken nuggets. Hashtag my kid is weird.
Dad, for some reason, I feel like I'm ready to go get me some that 10-piece down there at McDonald's. Every time I look at your butt, I'm
hungry. Dad, every time I look at you, I get hungry.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Going straight to the thighs.
Yeah, kids are honest. They're just good. Honest.
This is from at Molly Liger.
A liar. Molly Dynamite.
It's a combination between a lion and a tiger.
Yeah.
It says, my nephew once sneezed out a Sour Patch Kid. Listen. I still have no idea where it came from. I never gave him Sour Patch Kids. My kid is weird. It been lodged up in there.
He didn't give him a Sour Patch Kid.
Save him for later.
It came out of his nose.
Yeah. It was down in there in the esophagus area.
He gave birth to a Sour Patch Kid.
What's that?
Oh, push. It's burning.
This is from at Zeppelin 10.
Oh my gosh, what is up with these names?
My kid yelled at a random guy, quote, I hope you got your money back on that tattoo. Hashtag my kids are weird.
I wonder
what the tattoo was.
Your kids will get you in, like, almost fights and stuff. It's really bad. Like, in their honesty.
Is that a tattoo of Martha Stewart holding a kitten in a blowtorch? That's my dream tattoo.
This is Martha Stewart holding a kitten with a blowtorch.
Yeah, I lost a bet one time. I still have yet to pay up. Here we go. I was lost at one point. Now I'm found. It's from at Avens 82. Should I be creeped out that my 9-year-old just whispered in my ear, your hair would look good on my wall? Hashtag my kid is weird.
Hello, Clarice.
Could you just say some woman's hair just stuck up against the wall? He whispered it.
With some fava beans and a nice bottle of Chianti.
Listen, Leah's hair is in our drain at the house. About the same thing.
Last one.
Hey, Mom.
At Barista Summer, when I caught my daughter picking her nose, she said, "I'm putting it back in." Hashtag, my kid is weird.
Is she swapping one nostril to the
Mom,
next?
Mom, I'm not going to eat it. Well, that's all we have this week. Join us next week for our final week of hashtag Family Matters. Have an incredible Sunday and enjoy the series.
Well, I hope you enjoy some of those. We only got 1 week left, and some of y'all are hating it, but I think me and Travis have more fun than you guys because they're raw. They did not tell us what we were going to do and what they were going to say, so that made it even more fun. And doing it with Travis was a lot of fun. It was hilarious. But hey, listen, let's talk about children, raising kids. Let's talk about the practical side of raising children. This is what it says in Psalms 127:3. It says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Some of you are probably thinking right now, my kid is not a gift, nor is he or she a reward. I'm pretty sure God has punished me for all the things I did whenever I was a kid. How many of you have heard somebody say, you're paying for your raising? Anybody hear, I've heard that before. My granny said that all the time. Listen, the children that God has given you is a blessing from God. He is a blessing. And your grandchildren are a double portion of His blessing. And He has entrusted you. He has entrusted us to take care of our children, to take care of our kids and raise them up in the ways that He has called us to. He has entrusted us to raise them and train them up for the next generation. So the kids that you have living in your house with you, God has, listen, He has entrusted you with them to prepare them, to raise them for the next generation. And so, I say all the time that I'm praying spiritually and even practically that my ceiling is my kid's floor. I'm hoping that I do such a good job in raising my children the right way that they are far and beyond where I was whenever I was their age. So God has, He has called us to train up the next generation so that His name, more than anything else, will be known through all generations. And so we're going to talk a lot more about spiritually raising our kids next week. And I hope you come back, okay? But this week, I want to talk about practically raising our kids. One thing that I believe about, God has entrusted us. You guys aren't raising Caleb and Avery. I mean, me and Leah are doing that. We're raising Caleb and Avery. I'm not raising your kids. They're in your house more than they are in my house or any other house. Now listen, teachers, I feel like are responsible, coaches and principals. And, I do believe that there is a place where, and we'll talk more about this as we go, that as a community, we raise each other's kids in a sense. But the main responsibility for me and my house, me and my wife, is to raise my kids. And like I said earlier, there may be a great possibility that some of you may completely disagree with the things that I have to share with you today, and that is completely fine because nobody's perfect, all right? But we can agree to disagree and continue to love each other. But here's what I want you to know, is God has entrusted them. Honestly, they are on loan to you. They're really God's children. He's the one that created them. He gave them to you to raise them in a godly way and to raise them up in such a way that they'll be phenomenal citizens in society. And you've got a responsibility. So we're going to talk about how to do that today. The reason why I think it's important that we raise our kids right, because, just think about this, and I hope this makes sense. It might mess your head up a little bit. But, the people in this room who are Jesus lovers, who are Jesus followers, who are people who have given their life to Christ, who have understood the gospel, there's a great possibility that the way you came to know Christ is that somebody from the previous generation led you to Jesus, some way, form, or fashion. There's a great possibility. Some of you may say, well, somebody my age led me to Christ. Well, there's a great possibility that the person that led you to Christ, the previous generation led that person to Christ. And so every generation has a responsibility to raise up the next generation the right way. And so we have a huge, large responsibility if we have grandchildren or if we have children or if we have children that are going to be on the way or coming one day. Okay, we all have a responsibility. So listen, Proverbs 22:6 says this. It says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now listen, if you're here today, side note, rabbit trail, just a little bit. If you're here today and you say, I have raised my child right. I have raised them up in the ways that they should go. And my child is a prodigal. Then in Jesus' name, we're going to pray that they come home. Because I do believe that they will return to their roots of what God has called them to be. So in Jesus' name, we pray the prodigals come home, Father. Bring them home. All right? Side note. That's a side note. Coming back to the original message. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I started thinking about all the things that my dad, who was pretty strict in my home, all the things that I have not departed from. And there's a jillion of them. I just got a few of them. I started thinking like, you know, I feel like whenever I eat a meal, I have to clean my plate completely. Right? Because if I don't, I feel like even at 45, my dad's going to come through the door with a belt. Like, clean it, boy. All right? Listen, if you're going to put it on your plate, you're going to eat it. Anybody else have parents like that? All right, come on, all the older generation mainly. Leah looks at me and she says stuff like, Andy, you don't have to finish your plate. Like, you see, yes, I do. Hal will come through at any moment. I know it. He's coming. Listen, the reason why I have to finish my milk, like drink it all the way, like if I fill it to the top, I got to drink it all the way down to the bottom. Why? Because my dad always told me, you drink all your milk, finish it, do it. Like some of you are like, thank God my dad wasn't like that. Well, mine was, and now I feel pressure to drink the milk. Like I'm gagging, like, I got to get it down because I got to finish it. We don't waste stuff. We don't waste it. Listen, I remember things that I have not departed from. When I walk out of a room now, I do not leave a light on. I have got to turn that light off because my dad would always tell me, hey boy, that's a power bill involved. If you're not using that room, you turn that light off. And next time you come out of that room and that light's not off, I'm wearing your tail out. Yes, sir. You know how many times I got my tail wore out? A bunch. Because I'm old. Listen, they didn't have ADD back then. Like, listen, you know what helped me with ADD? They didn't have medicine. They had belts. Ain't no such thing. They had boards. Like, my dad whooped me with a skateboard one time. Y'all think I'm kidding. Grabbed it by the wheel. Bow! There's still a hole in the wood across from the bed. Listen, where my head went through it. Some of y'all are like, man, your dad crazy. My dad's going to be mad at me for telling y'all that stuff. You've been whooped by something crazy too. Listen, the older ones anyway. Listen, there's still things that I have not departed from just because it was instilled in me. And there's a jillion other things that I could say. But train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it, or she will not depart from it. So let's talk about just some practical ways we can train up our children. Practical ways we can train up our children, our grandchildren, our future children. Let's take notes, all right? Let's talk about it a little bit, all right? So you got to create boundaries. Number one, create boundaries for your children. Create boundaries for your children. You know, think about this spiritually. God calls us as believers His children. I don't know how many times you've read that in scripture, but God calls us who are believers as sons and daughters of Christ. We are the children of God. We're His children. So God calls us as believers His children, and He has set many boundaries for us, not because He wants to be an overbearing father or a killjoy, but He sets boundaries because He loves us, and boundaries protect us. Boundaries are protective. And so you've got to set boundaries in your home of what you expect from your children inside your home. Grandparents, maybe your kids don't set the boundaries, but it's your house. You've got the opportunity to set boundaries in your house. Set boundaries. Boundaries are good. So if God has exemplified this in raising us up as children of God, then shouldn't we model this also with our children? Boundaries are healthy for the purpose of protection and wisdom. A lot of kids are not smart. Y'all know that. Listen, when you see Caleb Heiss on a scooter that has no brakes going down a hill, that's straight down. There's like a double black in Colorado coming down the mountain. And listen, you know he's not bright. All right? So sometimes you have to say, we're not doing that. Because actually he learned on his own because he flipped off of it and he's part man, part scab now. Listen. So you got to set boundaries. Listen, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. This goes. Let's start spiritually. This goes for our relationship with Christ. The reason why we teach relationship first, the reason why we teach the importance of a relationship with God, because what I've learned over the years in church is what we call religion, that you can give people a set of duties, you can give them a set of rules to follow, but if they do not understand relationship, they will run far from it, and they will rebel against God. It's called legalism. If people do not understand relationship first, there's no way they're going to fall inside the boundaries, because I want my kids to follow my rules, first off, because they know daddy loves them. Second off, they know that I'm going to protect them. Third off, they know that if they get outside those boundaries, they're going to be in trouble. And it's going to hurt them. And so it's my job to teach them boundaries. Boundaries are good, because guess what? One day when they have a job, they'll have boundaries. One day when they play on a baseball team or a basketball team, football team, cheerleading squad, or in a band, they'll have boundaries. So teach them now how to have boundaries inside your home. So in the same way that rules without relationship equals rebellion in a relationship with God, it does that also with us as parents. You can give all the boundaries and rules in the world in your house, but if you do not have a healthy relationship with your child, it will lead them into rebellion. Now listen, let me throw this out there to you. To build a relationship with your child or your grandchild, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, you have to do things that may be something that you want like selfishly to do, but you have to become selfless to have conversations with your kid. To build relationships with your children, you have to have healthy conversation. You got to converse with them. You got to talk to them. Hey, first off, let me ask you a question. What are the boundaries in your home? Maybe some of you, whether you're married, maybe you and your spouse need to sit down and talk about what are the boundaries in our homes for our kids. Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you need to sit down and think through what are the boundaries that I do or do not have inside my house for my kid. Because you're actually loving them if you give them boundaries. It's good for them. It protects them. But to be able to really set boundaries, you got to have a strong relationship with them. You got to be able to talk to them. You got to have awkward conversations with them. Awkward conversations with your kids, all right? Listen, a lot of people dodge awkward conversations. Me and Caleb have some of the most awkward conversations you've ever heard in your life. And I'll be honest with you, I do not start the majority of them. He starts almost all of them. I can't say it on stage in front of everybody because y'all would probably think I'm something wrong with me. But I'm telling you, we have some really awkward conversations. There's going to be a day where you have to have the awkward conversation with your middle school student or maybe your sixth grade student or maybe your high school student. I don't know when you want to do it. About sex. It's going to happen. You do not want your kids learning about that from their friends at school or from television. Mm-hmm. You want to do that with your baby. I want to teach them what's right. And you're talking about an awkward situation, awkward conversation. Like, my wife's had that conversation with our daughter. I think she came to the first service. Listen, first question was, do you and dad do that? Yeah, this morning. I'm just kidding. I should have said that. Okay. Reel it in. She was gross. That wasn't like this. I mean, like, not today. Like, several times ago. Listen. So, I just, awkward, this is how you do it. Awkward conversations. We're doing it right now, all right? Actually, I'm conversing, and you're sitting there. And so, for all the people that just are visiting today, welcome to Desperation Church. I'm glad you're here. We'll have guest services right out here. We'd love to give you a gift. Listen. So, understand and realize that you got to have awkward conversations. Find out who they're hanging out with. Listen, I can tell your kid where he's going to be 10 years from now by who he hangs out with, and you should be able to do that too. I can tell you what road your kid's on by who they hang out with today. I tell kids that all the time. I tell them, I know where you're going in life by the people you hang out with today. You can. And so parents, it is your responsibility to find out who your kids are hanging out with. So can I go ahead and give you permission to do something that some of you are probably going to disagree with on? Is you have the responsibility to check their cell phones. Come on, I heard Granny in the back. Listen, you have the responsibility to check their computers. You have the responsibility to look and see who they're hanging out with and what they're saying and what they're talking about. And if you're here today and you're thinking like, well, my kid will tell me that it's their phone. No, no, it's not their phone. That's your phone. They just happen to be using it. Come on, there's my 50 and up crowd right there. Come on, listen. It's not that you say, well, I've used my own money for it. I bought it with my money. No, you didn't. I gave you that money, all right? But you still live under my roof. This is my house. And as long as you're in my house, everything you have, I don't care if you pay with your money, it's mine. And because I love you, because I want to protect you, I will check your things. Listen, there's kids in this room right now like, oh, God! Like, they deleting everything. Like, oh, snap! Like, oh, I left it in the car. Like, I got to use the bathroom. No, you don't. You're going to your car. The door's locked. Somebody broke in our car, Mom. I don't know what happened. They stole the phone. I got a lot of kids mad at me right now. Like, oh, gosh. Listen, it's good. Hey, can I tell you something? It takes a community to raise a child. If my babies are hanging out with somebody they should not be hanging out with, I want you to tell me. Tell me. There's going to be a line lined up after the church service. Like, oh, I got somebody. I see who they are. And if you're all right with it, I'll tell you. Because we got to take care of each other. Because who they hang out with, listen, about the age of 12, 13, mom and dad's not the main influence anymore. Y'all know that, don't you? The main influence is their friends. So mom and dad before 12, get all you can in their life. Let me go and throw this out there to you. I remember Steve Gaines telling me a long time ago, he said, Andy, was when me and Leah just had Avery. He said, your window's small. The days are long, but the years are short. The days are long, but the years are short. And make sure you make every day count, because you only got them for a short time. And in that short time, you've got a responsibility. Yes, sir. I remember that every day. Have I been perfect every day? Lord, no. No. But I try my best to remind myself that Caleb will not be 10 forever and Avery will not be 13 forever. You know, you think about it. I've really only got my little Avery in my house another 5 years. Maybe 6. My wife didn't start crying in the back. Maybe. And so it goes by fast. I started thinking like 13 years. It's already been 13 years since I had her playing tickle bugs. That's not good. 5 more years. It's going to go by like that. Listen, while they're young, pour into them. Tell them you love them every single day. Kiss them. Even when they're in middle school, kiss them in front of their friends on the mouth. Listen, what hinders relationship building in your house with your kids? What hinders it? What hinders conversation? Is it cell phones? You know, the new generation is great for some things, but it's bad for a lot of other stuff. It's a lot easier to communicate on a phone than it is face to face. And my mom, who we don't completely always, we fight her on this sometimes, but whenever we go to her house to eat, she will say, all right, everybody pull out your cell phones. We pull them out, turn them off. We got to turn them off. And she says, lay them in the middle of the table. We're going to talk. Come on. Y'all like that, don't you? She was in the last service. Nobody clapped. It must have been the younger generation. Like, oh, shit, I don't like your mama. Listen. Yeah, turn them off. Put them in the, and we're going to talk. Hey, I wonder how many of us these days really sit around the table and eat dinner with our family. Like the Waltons and Andy Griffith. Some of y'all are like, bad example. It's still healthy. Listen, we are not perfect at it, but we're trying to get better at it. So there's a place in my home where we're trying to do more around the table. It's amazing. Most men have their own little mini table that they sit in front of their lounge chair and watch football while they eat, while the family's over here talking. Somebody's got to lead in that. So I would challenge men to lead in. We're going to be a family that has conversation and build relationship. And the best way to do that is around food. Amen, said all the Baptist people in the house. It's the greatest way. It's good. It's healthy. Listen. Is it because you're too busy in your life to make time to hang out with your kids? Is your schedule too busy? Can I tell you this without any kind of condemnation, just to challenge you to think through some stuff? Mom and dad who have chasing after a career. God has called you to your family first before your career. God created the family before he created careers. And I know you got to have a career to take care of your family. But here's the big picture. You don't get off work when you leave your 40-hour job. You don't get off work. You go to your second job. And your second job is your family. It's your family. And you got to take care of them. You got to love them. You got to make an effort because they're not in your house forever. Make an effort. It's hard. You're tired. You're wore out. That's probably why it's good that you go exercise so you have a little bit more energy when you come home. I have to do that. I've really been bad at it lately, but I have to do that. It's good. Put some effort with it. So, moms, I think you should take your sons on dates and teach them how to treat a woman and have conversation with them, because women, we know, love to have conversation. Dads, I think you need to take your daughters on dates and show them how a man should treat a woman. How a man should treat a woman, how she should be treated. Open the door for her. Let her walk through first. Pay for her meal. Pay for her meal. Pay for her meal. Ladies, if your man ain't paying for your meal, what are you doing with that cat? I'm going to go ahead and apologize to all the men, because really it's the little things. It's the details that matter. It's the details that your kids will remember. It's the details that they will remember. And so I'm going to go ahead and apologize to all the men in the house who have daughters, because I want you to watch this commercial to make my point a little bit better. Go ahead and get your tissue.
The longest. Give extra, get extra.
Come on, thank you. You're welcome, extra gum. Listen, I watched that last service. I'm still a little teary-eyed, and I've got to learn how to make that swan. Oh my gosh. Somebody teach me how to do that with a piece of gum wrapper. But don't send my daughter to college anytime soon. Listen, so understand it's in the details. It's the small things that your kids remember. It's the nicknames you give them. It's the little things that listen, they're not going to remember the things you bought them. They're not going to remember. They're going to remember the details. They're going to remember the conversations. They're going to remember the relationships. They're going to remember the details. So I want to challenge you. Focus on the details with your babies, okay? The other thing I would say is know what is acceptable and not acceptable in your house. In our house, there's no back talking at my house. I mean, kids ain't going to back talk my wife. They're not going to back talk me. Respect and honor is a big deal in my home. And honestly, I'm going to knock you into next week. But here's the big picture. Just a side note, if your kids don't respect you and they backtalk you, they're not going to backtalk their boss one day. They're going to get their tails fired. You teach them honor now. Honor's a big deal. Teach them about authority now. God created authority for a reason. Everybody in this room, including myself, has authority in their life. Everybody. And so when we learn how to respect authority and honor authority, it's amazing how much more successful our kids will be in life. So let them learn from you first. The other thing I would say is know what is acceptable and not acceptable in your house. Hey, how about it is acceptable to say no? It is okay to say no. Here's what I want everybody to do in the house. We got an extra little deal I want us to practice while we're here today. Everybody put your teeth together. Put your tongue behind your teeth and say it with me. No. Come on, you did good, all right? It's okay to say no. Listen, I believe that it is healthy for your kids to hear no a lot more than yes. Some of you may really just, now listen, don't be a jackleg and don't give them anything. Just say no all the time. That, you're mean. Take care of them, but don't say no some. It's good. It's healthy. It's better to hear no more than it is yes. The reason why I believe that is because it causes them to appreciate things. It causes them to not live entitled the rest of their life. If you say yes to everything they want in their life, they're going to hear no eventually from somebody who's over them, and they're not going to know how to take it because they've been entitled to anything you ask for, it's yours, queen. That's not good. So it's okay. Listen, it's okay. It's okay to say no. It causes them to appreciate things. The other thing I would say is to be an example. Be an example. Raising your kids will be like you when they grow up. So however you're living now is what your kids will look like when they get older. Some are like, oh dear Lord Jesus. Or somebody like, oh, they're going to be great. They're awesome. We got this class called Freedom Group that helps you get set free from humility. I mean, from arrogance, but it'll help you. Anyway, listen. They will follow our action. Children will follow our actions more than our words. They will follow our actions more than our words. Our kids don't do what we say. They do what we do. I don't know if y'all remember Molly came in here during Roadshow and talked about that. You know, I think about Caleb. Caleb, I mean, he is mini me at times. He's really crazy. And, you know, I pray certain ways. And so I think Caleb's watched me over the years. I got a picture of him right here. I want you to check this out. All these kids are praying with their eyes closed, and Caleb's looking around like, you ain't doing nothing to me. That's me right there. I live out the scriptures. The Bible says Jesus looked up into heaven and he blessed the food. So I'm looking. I'm watching you because I don't trust any of you. You're going to throw something at me, hit me. Listen, I'm just kidding. Listen, the big picture is that your kids watch what you do on a regular basis and they imitate you on a regular basis. I wonder how many of us in this room have said, I will never, ever, 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 ever be like my parents. And now that you're grown up, you're like, oh dear, dear Lord Jesus, I just did exactly what my mom used to do. I look just like my dad. Have anybody done that before? Like, some of y'all scared to death. Y'all don't even want to do it now. Like, admit. Listen. My dad, I used to watch Alabama football games with him, and I'm telling you, he would be throwing stuff at the TV, hollering, like the coach could literally hear him from Gardendale, Alabama. I mean, like, going, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll never be like him. Listen, I've got a crack in my screen right now from crap I've thrown. I threw Caleb at it the other day. I'm just kidding. I don't have a crack in my screen. I just holler every now and then. But I look, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm acting like my dad. It's not good. Here's the deal. Your kids, they don't do what we say. They do what we do. And so you teach them by example. How do you live your life? Be an example physically, spiritually, emotionally. Be an example. You know, physically, take care of your body. Teach them how to eat. If you eat like a pig, they're going to eat like a pig. Oink, oink. I shouldn't say that. I just hurt somebody's feelings. I won't talk to you specifically. I'm just saying if. Listen, your wife tells you that, then guess what? You might do it. Listen, work out. How about body hygiene? Some of y'all are like, what? I remember my fifth grade teacher having a conversation with us whenever I was in fifth grade about, like, body odor. Like, some of y'all need to start wearing deodorant. And she's pointing her finger at me. I don't know why. Because my parents didn't teach me. Actually, they did, but it's okay. I just didn't like it. Middle school kids need to learn. If you got a middle school kid, go ahead and know now. They do not know hygiene. Brush their teeth for them still, all right? Help them out. They smell like Whoppers with onions. A Crystal Burger. Some of y'all are like, well, what does that mean? Go get your Whopper after church with an onion on it. Smells like B.O. Listen. Spiritually, we'll talk next week. We'll talk next week more about spiritual stuff. Listen, marriage. Don't fight and holler at each other all the time in front of your kids. The way you act in marriage, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago, is the same way they'll be married. And so remember that they're watching you, and the way you treat your spouse is the way they're going to treat their spouse. Know that. How about budget? If you're always in debt, then you're teaching your kids how to be in debt. If you're always swiping the credit card, putting yourself in more debt, guess who's going to be going swiping the card, putting themselves in more debt? Your babies. And some of you here, listen, are in debt, and you have kids that live in your home. And we've got classes here at our church that can help you get out of debt, but you will not check them out because, number one, probably because of your pride. I'm just going to say it nice. Did you know that the statistics are 80% of the church is in debt, of church people, not desperation, just churches, period, are in debt. When we heard that statistic, we immediately started doing financial stuff, started getting people who had their finances in order so that we could start helping people get out of debt, because we know how much bondage it puts in people's lives. You need to join a small group. We just started them. You probably still have time to join a financial small group. Go get in one and get yourself set free so you can teach your kids how to get set free. It's wise. It's wisdom. You said, I'm just being embarrassed. I'm not. You come in there, I'm going to give you a hand clap. Me and Leah had them come sit with us, and we went through a plan to get ourselves where we needed to be because we didn't have one. I did. You can too. Anyway, it's not about finances. Just help out. How about the way you treat people? How about gossip? If you're talking about other people in a negative way in your home, guess what? Your kids will grow up thinking it's okay. If you're always mad at the waiter or waitress because they ain't filled your tea up quick enough and you're a jerk to the waiter or waitress, guess who's going to be a jerk next? Your kids, because they're going to think it's okay. If you show kindness, mercy, and grace and humility, guess who will grow up with kindness, mercy, and grace and humility? Your babies. And we need more of that than we do mean people. Why don't we just choose kindness in front of our kids so they can see us be kind? And when somebody doesn't treat us the right way, we show mercy and we show grace and we love them. Why? Because we're raising up another generation. And the generation they're in right now, through social media and everything else, is critical and nasty and mean. And listen, we need light in a dark world, and we have a responsibility to raise our kids up in light. And light is love. Light is kindness. Light is gentleness and patience and mercy. So we have a responsibility. The other thing I would say real quick is give them responsibility. Ruh-roh, Raggy. All right, get your seatbelts on because I don't want you leaving. I want you staying. Don't get mad at me. You stay here. We're going to talk about some stuff real quick. All right, I'm already over. It won't take long. All right? Give your babies responsibility. You're training them in your home to be able to handle things when they're on their own in life. When they leave your house, you're teaching them now how to be a productive citizen in society, to be a productive spouse, to be a productive mom or dad. And what you teach them now is what they carry into their next relationship. You may have them 20 years, but they'll have another 50 or 60 prayerfully after they leave your house. You got 20 years to raise them right so they can be who they're supposed to be. You got a responsibility. So what I would tell you is give them responsibility. Don't do everything for your kids. If you do, they'll not know what to do when they leave and have their own families. In other words, give them chores. Give them responsibility. All children need to learn responsibility while they're young. Some of you are like, well, mine's just 5 years old. Then go on a mission trip. Go to Guatemala or Mexico and watch these little five-year-olds take their two-year-old little brother or little sister and change their diaper and take care of them and feed them. We take our kids for granted. We do not understand that our kids are a lot smarter and wiser at the age of 5, 6, 7 years old than what we give them credit for. Because I go to other countries and mamas and daddies will let a five-year-old take a three-year-old miles down to the creek to get some water and come back. Y'all think I'm crazy? Get on a plane and go. I promise you. Give them responsibilities. Teach boys and girls. Teach them. Teach them how to wash clothes. Teach them how to wash dishes. Teach them how to make their beds. Listen, mamas, if you're always making your baby's beds, how are they going to make their kids' beds whenever they get out of your house? Teach them how to do it. Oh, I don't have them long. I got to do everything. I give them a little sugar booger booger. Your little sugar booger booger going to be single the rest of their life. Like, dear Lord Jesus. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to mop and sweep. Teach them how to cut grass, blow leaves, clean out gutters. It's not going to hurt them. It's good for them. Listen, I started last year I tried to let Caleb start driving my lawnmower and cut the grass. We're going to do it again this year. It didn't go over very well. It was in the ditch most of the time. It went over like a pregnant pole vaulter, and so we'll never do that again until this year. All right? But the thing about it is it's good for them to learn responsibilities. Listen, there's a great possibility that some of you are about to really disagree with what I'm about to say, and they're your kids. You can do whatever you want to. I'm just going to give you my 2 cents practically on what I believe when your kids are teenagers. I believe that when your kid turns 16, they should get a job, even if it's a part-time job. Even if it's a part-time job, I think they ought to have a job, some way, form, or fashion. Why? Because it teaches them responsibility. It teaches them how to deal with money. It teaches them how to have authority and a boss. It teaches them adversity. It teaches them hard work. It teaches them failure and how to overcome it. It teaches them on and on and on and on we can go. And some of you are saying like, well, my kid's just way too busy. You can't give me that. I mean, I'm not the right person to talk to on that. I remember whenever I was 15 years old, I worked at a filling station. A filling station is where you took care of the people. When they come in, you fill up their tires and you fill up the gas for them and wash the windows and stuff. But there's also a place where we detailed cars and washed cars. And so at 15 years old, this is what I did. I washed cars. And so there were days that people would come back in and they had dirt streaks after we washed their car. I was not a good car washer, and I was not a good worker. I'll be honest with you. There was a place where I was lazy, but I guarantee you this, after I got my butt chewed out by the guy that owned the store because it made him look bad and me look bad, I started doing a lot better job, and I learned a lot from that stuff. It made me a man. It made me into who I am today. At the age of 16, I went to school. I played 3 sports, sun up to sundown every single day, had something going on. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, I was lost, I didn't go to church then. Saturdays and Sundays, I worked all day. Can I tell you, whenever your kid has a job, it keeps them out of a lot of trouble. Keeps them out of trouble. But it also teaches them a lot of stuff. It teaches them how to do things. So I had to do homework, I had to have a job, and I played sports. My schedule was booked, packed. And it was tough. But the thing about it is it made me a man. So I would challenge you. I would challenge you. Challenge your kids to have a job some way, form, or fashion. Part-time or full-time, whatever. The other thing, number four, this is really going to make people upset, but I won't say it anyway. Let them experience adversity. It's amazing how many times we try to protect our kids from adversity. When in reality, if your kid can learn how to handle adversity at a young age, most of them will end up successful in life some way, form, or fashion. So if you can begin to teach your child, your grandchildren, and your children how to deal with adversity, it'll go a long way. Listen, no adversity in people's lives, in children's lives, leads to entitlement. And most of us as parents, honestly, really don't realize it, but many times we're teaching our kids how to be selfish and entitled without even knowing it. Listen, I'm not perfect at this. I'm just going to tell you, these are things I'm working on as I go. Okay? We're working on these things. Adversity is good for kids because it prepares them for life. Why? Because in life there will always be adversity. Just in this room, just a show of hands, how many of you had some kind of adversity this week in life, some way, form, or fashion? Throw your hands up in the air. All right? You know why? Because you'll have adversity the rest of your life. But you can learn from adversity if you respond correctly. We teach our kids how to respond correctly to adversity while they're young, then they'll make great citizens in society one day. They'll make great churchgoers. They'll make great mamas and daddies. Adversity is good. You know, I think about, go ahead and get your seatbelts back on. Listen, I think about sports. And it might not be sports. You can categorize this with something else. I'm just going to talk about sports for a minute. You know, there's a lot of parents that don't like it when their kids don't play where they think they should. They really get upset. And to be honest with you, when your kid's not playing where you think they should, then it should be an opportunity, a lesson of adversity. It should be a time of teaching your kid how to work harder. Like, okay, you don't like playing in right field or sitting the bench? Then here's what we're going to do. We're going to work our tails off. We're going to get better. Or we can just stay average and just stay like we always are and complain and huff and, you know, feel entitled and just keep doing what we've always done. Or we can get better. Listen, what happens is most of the time is that when we as parents, because it's usually not even really the kids. The kids are having a blast. It's usually the parents who get ticked off. Like, little Johnny ain't playing in the dirt. He should be in the dirt. Little Johnny should be point guard on the basketball team. Little Johnny is 6'7" and he's 10. He walks like a one-legged albatross. If you don't know what that is, go look it up on YouTube. Listen. It's amazing. And what happens is that parents a lot of times will start fighting for their kids to get the position that he wants or that you think he should have, and then he or she will never know how to work as a team. It solely becomes about your kid, and it becomes selfish and teaches them to be selfish. And what happens is this, you're devaluing everybody else on the team so that your kid can be recognized. It's really about selfishness. Little Johnny's going to play where I want him to play, and I'm going to put my foot down and let the coach know. Can I tell you something? If that's you, every coach hates you. All the coaches in the house are like, preach it, brother. Glory to God. Preach it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get my parents going to watch this sermon, Jesus' name. Listen. Don't be that parent. I know it might drive you crazy and you think that your kid's the next Derek Jeter or the next LeBron James. Listen, you live in Coleman. He's not the next LeBron James. Just want to throw that out there to you. Listen, I want you to understand. We have got to get to a place that we let our kids fail so that we can teach them from it. It's okay. It's okay if the coach doesn't play where he wants, where you want him to play. When you quit because your kid isn't getting the time to play or playing where you think he or she should, then you're teaching him or her to quit anytime it's not going your way. Hey, Sugar Bear, anytime it's not going the way you think it should be going because you're on a stage, you're up here, you're the perfect one. It's all about you. And whenever they don't play you where you think, do you just quit? We'll show you, bless God. You're teaching them bad habits. It's called entitlement. It's amazing how many parents have gone and fought for their kids when in reality it was a good opportunity to teach your kids about hard work, being a team player, and how to deal with adversity. Hey, let your kids fail. It's okay. Let them fail. And then teach them hard work when they fail. Teach them how to learn from their failures. Every successful business person in America, every successful leader in America failed a jillion times first before they got it right. And if we do not allow our kids to fail, then how are they going to learn how to recover from failure when they get out on their own? It's not going to happen. Now, I know I'm giving like a little motivational speech right now, but I hope this can apply spiritually to you. You know, I think about school. Maybe it's not even sports. Maybe it's school. Maybe your kid didn't make the grade on the test that you think, and so you write the teacher a letter. And you get mad at them because of whatever. You go and fight for them. Listen, I don't know about you. I remember whenever I was a kid. I think most of the older people in the room will know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of the younger, I don't know. I remember whenever I was a kid, there were times that I would get in trouble in school. And the teacher, the adult, or maybe wasn't even in school, but somewhere, the adult would go and tell my dad, like, Andy's doing such and such. There was never one time, listen, the teacher could be lying through her teeth, bold-faced lying. I could be a little angel. But listen, my dad always took the adult side. Every single time, never took my side. Why? Because he knew Andy and wore my tail out. But today it's kind of flip-flopped. Adults are scared to death to help you out with your kid. Because they scared to death, mama, mean mama, mama bear coming to get me. It's kind of backwards. It's kind of weird. And some of you may really disagree with that. Let me tell you something. If a teacher comes and tells me something about Caleb Heiss, I'm going to take her side or his side every single time. Same thing going to happen to me. Every time. Every time. And I'll be honest with you, we need to help each other raise kids. Bad. But man, we're so overprotective that we cannot allow our kids to experience any adversity. Hey, let's just play pretend like that the teacher is wrong. Great learning lesson to teach our kids that, man, even though they are wrong, we're going to show mercy and we're going to show grace and we're still going to respect them and love them even though they may be wrong. Learning lesson. How about Patrick Murphy, who is the coach, the softball coach for Alabama, said, uncoachable kids become unemployable adults. Let your kids get used to someone being tough on them. It's life. Get over it. That's nasty. Listen, we got to stop, all right? Because I've gone way too long. Not teaching your kids hard work for the outcome, it leads to entitlement. And teaches them that I only deserve the best without working for it. Stop fighting all the time. Let your kids learn. Let them learn. Use it as a lesson. Use it as a lesson. If you disagree with the coach, don't say a word to the coach. Use it as a lesson to be a team player, to be an overcomer, to how to deal with adversity. Because guess what? In the Christian life, there's more adversity than I ever experienced before I got saved. Teach them now. You can do it with anything. Here's the problem. Honor is the problem. When you teach your kids that dishonor is okay. If your coach plays them where you don't like or sits them and it's his call and you basically go fight for them or you basically quit, then it teaches them that it's okay to dishonor people. And honor. Honoring others is large. Teach your kids the right thing. Teach them the right thing. Let other people raise you babies. Y'all raise mine, please. Help me out. Help me out. Raise my babies. We y'all gonna have Caleb laid over your knees, spanking him. Go for it, tear him up. I'm just kidding. You better talk to Mama Bear first. Leah, listen. Do what's right. We got a responsibility. I believe in this generation. I believe in you. I believe in the next generation coming up. And we've got a huge responsibility to raise our kids the right way, to be great citizens in society, to teach them how to deal with adversity, but more than anything else, to be kingdom builders for the sake of Jesus. We've got a responsibility. Let God use you in large ways. May God use you in large ways. Let me pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. May we be the people of God you've called us to be. May we walk with you and love you, desire you, live for you, chase after you. God, do great things in us, through us. And God, in us. God, use us. If you're here today with nobody looking around and you say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. Man, I need Jesus in my life. I'm lost. I can't lead my kids the right way because I don't know Jesus. And I want to know Jesus. Would you introduce me to him? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but just so I know I have somebody here who needs Jesus. If that's you, would you just throw your hand up? There's one right there. That's my brother. I hear you, boy. Who else? I need Jesus. Up in the balcony. Anybody else? I need Jesus, man. Anybody else? The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day. It says you will be saved. You say, why do I believe in my heart? Because that means that you believe he died on the cross for your sins. He took on the wrath of God, took the punishment that you deserve, but Jesus took it for us. He was buried. It also means that you believe that he's alive and he is well today with your best interest out because he's in love with you. For God so loved the world, you're part of the world, he loves you. You say, Andy, how do I give my life to him? Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. So let's confess him. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. No longer do I want to be Lord of my life, but you be Lord of my life. You take my life and do with it what you will. Use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Thank you for saving me and changing me. Listen, if you're here today and you just prayed that and you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, can we celebrate with these people, Desperation Church? Come on, come on. Listen, he's your next step. Your next step. It's going to take a little bit of courage, but it's worth it, I promise you. Right outside these doors to the right, there's a Next Steps table in a room right there. You'll see a sign that says Next Steps. Take a right there. Go to that red table. There's going to be somebody with a smile on their face. They're going to give you a book that's going to help you grow. Then they're going to give you some next steps and how to follow Jesus in your journey with him, okay? So I want to challenge you. Go by that table. All right? It'll be worth it, I promise you. Hey, if you're here today, I got both my hands up and you say, Andy, I want to be a better parent. I want to be a better grandparent. I want God to use me in large ways to raise up the next generation. If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Are you here today all over the house? Father, in Jesus' name, may we be the people of God you've called us to be. May we be the parents and the grandparents and the parents that don't have kids yet. May we be the people you've called us to be. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we lift you up in your precious and holy name.
Amen, amen. Hey, one more time, church, let's give Jesus some praise in the building. Yes.